If you have your Bibles, I hope you'll find Joshua chapter 2. I want to continue this summer series on daughters of God, women of wonder. Joshua chapter 2. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go, look over the land, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. You bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went, but go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up on the roof, hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads from the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Finally, the children of Israel are at the doorway to that great promised land. Now, it hadn't been a very easy journey for these Hebrews, but don't feel too sorry for them. They had barely been out of Egypt. Just a few days and it began. Moses, what are we going to eat? Moses, we're so thirsty. What are we going to drink? Moses, why did we even come out here? We'd have been better if we had just stayed in Egypt. A little bondage, a little captivity, but at least we had food to eat and water to drink. Moses, what have you done? Oh, did you bring us here to die? Well, God said, why don't you think about this a while? And for the next 40 years, God let them wander around and think about all of their complaining. God provided for them manna in the morning and quail at night, and they walked. Oh, God had a plan. His plan was to send them in circles, and they did. And now they're right there. The time has come for them to enter the land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, a few obstacles still remain. You can read on in chapter 3 and 4. The first obstacle was the Jordan River. They were on the east of the Jordan River, headed across the Jordan River, and normally that wouldn't be so difficult. The Jordan River, most times, is about 30 feet wide, about 5 feet deep. But when the snows of Mount Hermon began to melt, and during the harvest season, the Jordan River can become 1 mile wide. It's a turbulent river. I went to see the kids at camp, like the Trinity River and the Brazos River during this spring. That's like the Jordan River, but only more so. It was this huge divide. Now, God's going to lead them. God's going to send the Ark of the Covenant. His very presence is going to go into the water. The water will be divided, and millions, there are probably 2 million Hebrews that are waiting to go over into the land. So the Jordan River is a problem. There's another problem. It's the Canaanites. It's the Canaanites who dwell on the other side of the Jordan, and they live at this point in Jericho. Now, Jericho sits just north of the Dead Sea. We know of Jericho. We love the song about Jericho, that great fortified walled city. It was hard to get in, or sometimes hard to get out of Jericho. I love the commentator that said, to call the Canaanites barbaric is like describing the North Pole as a little bit nippy. The Canaanites were barbaric and then some. They were bad, bad people. Their worship, what worship they had, was nothing more than spiritual orgies. In order to control the population, they buried their babies alive. They had no respect, the Canaanites, no respect for each other, no respect for life, and definitely no respect for any god. and hear the children of Israel stand with the great Jordan River at harvest time in front of them, and beyond that, Jericho filled with Canaanites. So Joshua sends, as the text said, two spies. Now remember, Joshua had been a spy himself about 40 years ago. He and Caleb said, "We can do this," but the other 10 said, "No, no." Joshua hopefully picked two better spies this time, and they go out, make their way across the river into Jericho. Now, Facebook and Instagram was blowing up. The Canaanites knew something big was happening. From their vantage point, they saw not hundreds, they saw millions of Hebrews. They began to hear the stories of what God had done, of what their God had done. They began to hear the stories of those who had been hurt and captured. They were more than a little bit afraid. The spies make it. They go to the house of Rahab. The king gets word that the spies from the Hebrews are in the house of Rahab. And someone goes and knocks on the door. At least I have it pictured this way in my mind. They knock on the door and they say, "Let us in, let us in." Rahab says, "Sorry, boys, not tonight. It's been a long night already." "No, no, let us in. I mean, we don't want in for that, but we need in because we understand there are some Hebrews in here." And Rahab said, "You're jealous of those Hebrew boys?" "No, let us at them." And she said, "Oh, they're already gone. They were here, but they're already gone. You just missed them, and I don't have time for you. I'm worn out. Go on your way." "Well, you might catch them. I think they went that way. Go catch them before the gates are closed." Off they go to find those Hebrews. Off she goes upstairs, where she has hidden them upstairs, and she gets in their face and said, "Listen, I protected you. It's your turn. You protect me. Protect my family." Chapter 2, verse 15. She let them down by a rope through the window, for the house that she lived with was part of the city wall. And Rahab said, "You go to the hills, so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there for 3 days until they return, and then go your way." Verse 22, when they left, they went to the hills, and they stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road, and they had returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. What a story! I couldn't make this story up, and I don't think you could. What a story. This is like CSI Jericho. This is Desperate Housewives. This is big. What a story that happened so long ago, but what does it have to do with us today? I think it has a lot. See, God had a plan. God had a plan. And God still has a plan. As surely as God had a plan for the life of the Hebrews and the spies and even Rahab, God has a plan for us. And we must beware lest we miss His plan because of the Rahabs in our life. Think about how God revealed Himself to Abraham. Think about and remember your Old Testament history, how God chose Abraham and spoke to Abraham and Sarah, and then came Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, how God called him and used him. And Moses said, "Yes, God, I will follow you." And now it's Joshua. And here they are. The time is there, and God is working at His plan. And in the midst of that plan, here is Rahab the prostitute. God was moving ahead of the Hebrews. God was moving in the midst of the Hebrews. God was moving all around them. You go back and read chapter 1. God had been with these people so long. Moses told them what God had said. God said, "Be strong and courageous. I have brought you. I have led you." Time and time again in chapter 1, "Be strong and very courageous. Obey the law. Listen to Moses. Don't turn to the right. Don't go to the left. Follow me. I have commanded you. Have you heard it? Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I am your God. I have a plan. Be strong. Be courageous. Follow me. And that same God, our God, that same God tells us today, keep following. Be brave and courageous. Keep listening and following. God continues to go ahead of us. God continues to go and to push us and walk behind us. And God continues to work in the midst of your life. And often, I'm convinced, in my life at least, God surprises me with amazing ways that He works. God leads, God directs. He asks me to follow, and I am often amazed. So many times it's hard to know God's will. It's hard to find His will. It's hard to understand what His will is and how He directs. Remember Isaiah? One of my favorite verses, Isaiah 55. God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways." God said, "My thoughts are not like your thoughts." To Jeremiah, God said, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and plans to give you a future. And if you will come to me and listen to me and follow me, I will listen to you. If you will come to me and follow me, I will be found." Oh, if we could just learn to open our eyes, more so shut our mouths and listen to God. Don't miss God's plan. Don't miss God's plan in your life. But this sermon was supposed to be about Rahab. Rahab, a daughter of God? Rahab, a woman of wonder? No, Rahab, a prostitute. Rahab, a harlot. Rahab, you fill in the blank. Rahab's name is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. 8 different times. 5 of the 8 times Rahab's name is mentioned, it's always Rahab, comma, the prostitute. 5 times. Rahab, comma, the harlot. Rahab, the prostitute. Rahab, the prostitute. It's like a neon sign. Rahab, prostitute. Rahab, prostitute. And even in the New Testament, you go to Hebrews chapter 11. We love Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. By faith, Abel did this. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Rahab, comma, the prostitute. Out of all of Hebrews 11, all of those men and women of faith, it's Rahab that gets the comma. Rahab, by faith, prostitute. But God had a plan. And Rahab, the prostitute, was right in the middle of God's plan. How many of us would have missed out on God's plan because of Rahab? How many of us, if we'd have been the spy and God would have directed and led us, you go to the red light district in Jericho, you walk right up and you go to Rahab's, we say, "Oh, I'm not going there. No, I can't do that, but I can stop here and pray for her. Maybe I'll get out a big poster and I'll pick it in front of her house. That's what you want me to do, God." God said, "Go in." "Oh, God, I'm Baptist. We can't do that. Oh, God, what will the church people talk?" Sometimes church people talk. But these two guys followed God's leading. It didn't make any sense. It seems very strange even to us today, but God was leading and in the midst of it all. Rahab, comma, the prostitute. Rahab had a son. The son was named Boaz, and he married Ruth, month of August. I'm going to share about Ruth. We love that story, Boaz and Ruth. Boaz's mother was Rahab. And Ruth and Boaz had children. And then they had grandchildren. And Ruth and Boaz had a great-grandson who was a shepherd boy named David. David, King David, the great-great-great-grandson of Rahab. David, a man after God's own heart. And through David, we get to Joseph, the earthly dad of Jesus. And it started back at Rahab. God had a plan. And God still has a plan. Hear me, God can use a prostitute like Rahab. God can use an adulterer. God can use a jackass. God can use a murderer. God can use you. God can use me. Rahab, what a profession. Several staff members said, "Are you sure you want to make that the title of your sermon this week? Rahab, what a profession." Well, did you catch her profession? Let me read it. Chapter 2, verse 9. She said to the spies, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water on the Red Sea for you, and how you came out of Egypt. And what you did to Sihon and Og and the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, who you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear. And everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above. The Lord your God is God on the earth below." Rahab's profession of faith in those verses mattered more than her profession as a prostitute. Oh, what a profession. Her profession that you're God, now my God. You're God. The God of the heavens, you're God. I want you to know this morning that your profession of faith matters more than your past. Your profession of faith in the Lord God through Jesus Christ matters more than any past. I wonder today, are you Rahab? Some of you are saying, "Oh, no, no, not me." Are you Rahab? Maybe you haven't sold your body, but have you sold your mind and heart to the lies that Satan keeps telling you? Have you sold your mind and your heart to those words that Satan says God can't use you? You're too old. You're too young. You're too single. You're too dumb. God can't use you, Satan whispers. And we buy it. You can't teach. You can't preach. You can't deke. You can't even serve. You know what's in your heart. God can't use you. Have you sold yourself? You're just a woman. You're just a cowboy. You're just a retired blue-collar mill worker. You're just a banker. You're just a student. You're Rahab. God can't use you. Besides, you drink too much. You cuss too much. Your family's a mess. Your marriage failed. You've been divorced. You're gay. Your you're lesbian. Your past is so ugly. Your past is such a mess. It's not just your past, it's your present. You know what it is to sin. You do it every day. And you keep hearing that lie of Satan. God doesn't have a plan for you. God can't use you. You're just. Hear me, church. God can use you. God has a plan for your life. Don't miss it. You're part of God's plan. You are Rahab. Yes, and God has a plan for your life. Or maybe we're more like the spies. There are Rahabs all around us. There are Rahab, comma, dot, dot, dot. They're all around us. And they need to be told of God's love and God's grace and God's welcome. It's very interesting that four times in the passage I read, it said, and our hearts melted within us. We were filled with fear and our hearts melted. C.S. Lewis said, the fear of God is not like I fear a tiger or even a ghost. Lewis said, fear is a sense that God is so awesome, and the awe of God leads me to see the grace of God who reveals the love of God. Their hearts melted in fear. Could it be their hearts melted as they heard and saw the grace, the power, and the love of God? The spies, did God really need this reconnaissance report from these spies about what was going on in Jericho? God didn't need the spies to come back and tell him anything. They were like missionaries, weren't they? God said, I want you to trust me. I want you to obey me. I want you to follow me. And it led them to some uncomfortable place. The spies were led to a place, Rahab's house. Led to a place where people weren't like them. His name is Sam. That's not his real name. That's what I'm going to call him. Sam, on Palm Sunday and on Easter Sunday, was part of the orchestra that led us in that beautiful worship. Sam sat right back here. Our orchestra and others in the community and students from Stephen F. Austin played and led us Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday. And Sam had been here before. Sam played in the last two or three Christmas orchestras of our Celebrate Christmas. But when Sam first started playing as a student at SFA, he was Samantha. Sam is transitioning transgendered male. John told me Sam was coming. And so that Palm Sunday, a few weeks ago, I looked for him and I saw him. I went to my office before worship and I wrote a note that said, Sam, I'm glad you're with us today. I hope you feel welcome, and I hope you feel safe. I'm glad you will spend this Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday at First Baptist. If you ever need a friend, maybe you don't, or a pastor, you may already have one, but here's my card. I sealed it, put it on his music stand, and I guess I waited all week thinking Sam would call me or text me. On Easter Sunday, we didn't have Bible study, and so we had a long practice, and I was over here, and Sam sought me out, and he came and said, Reverend Newton. I said, hi. He said, thank you. for that note. He said, I've read it numerous times this week. I do feel welcome here. He said, most churches I play in, I don't feel welcome, and often I'm afraid. He said, I'm going to graduate, and I'm going to be going back to Houston to my home, and I'm going to be teaching. And maybe someday I can call you, and we can talk. And then with glistening eyes, he said, I'm so glad I get to have Easter worship in this church. Now, I don't know if Sam would be a Rahab or not. I think Sam probably feels very good where he is in his life. But I know there are a lot of Sams out there that we tend to overlook, that we tend to judge, that we tend to have all figured out. And I think like Rahab, they need to be melted, not in fear, but in the grace and the love of God. Rahab, a daughter of God indeed. Let us not miss out on what God's doing in our own life because of Rahabs that frighten us. Let us not miss out that God can use anyone, and God uses Rahabs all the time. May God give us more Rahabs. May God give us more spies with eyes and hearts to see. We don't need any more Pharisees or holier than thou. We've got plenty of those. God give us Rahabs, those that don't fit the mold, but who you work in their lives, in our lives. We're all Rahab. I'm so grateful that God takes us where we are and uses us to His glory. Shall we pray? So God, you preserve for us in your word about a prostitute who you used and worked to accomplish your plan, her profession of faith in you, her life melted in the presence of you. She wasn't judged. She wasn't condemned. She was used by you to accomplish your will. Oh, God, we sometimes think we have to understand it all, but your ways are not our ways, and your understanding's not ours. I'm so glad, God, you accept us just as we are. You don't accept us and then just leave us. You don't accept us and always leave us in our mess. You accept us and you change us and you work in us and you love us when we can't love ourselves, and you love us when we so mess up, and you love us regardless of our past, and you love us regardless of our presence. You accept us, oh God. Let us love others. And let us look for you in the lives of Rahabs around us. You have a plan. You have a plan and a purpose. Let us listen to you and find that purpose as we seek to be the presence of Christ. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.